You may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue our study tonight on the topic of by faith. Tonight, we're going to talk about by faith, Abraham. And this is going to be an interesting one. I'm going to kind of cover a whole lot of territory tonight. So I'm going to need you to listen quickly. I will get done by 8 o'clock or just a minute or so before, but I do want you to pay attention tonight. We're going to cover a lot of Bible tonight. So I want you to be ready to think with me here. Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, I'm going to stop there. Keep your finger there. Mark that. We're going to be using this often through the night, but we're going to be going to other places as well. We have begun a study about the topic of by faith. Now, remember, by faith is not an action. It describes how an action is done. We would call it an adverb. It's an adverb prepositional phrase, and it describes how an action is done. Tonight, and by the way, that doesn't mean a lot to you, but that means this. You can do the same action without faith. But when you do it by faith, it changes how it was done. And that's what God wants us to see. And over and over and over and over in the scripture, God says by faith something was done. And that, you say, it just seems like such a trite thing, preacher. As you've already seen, it's not. And I think tonight will take you that much farther. Remember, faith is a substance. Faith is something that is real. It's tangible. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It says it's a substance. We learned on the first of these studies that faith then is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So doing something by faith means that we're doing it exactly the way God said in that book right there. It's not just as we see it, it's as God said it. Now, hang on, we're going somewhere with this. Faith is not some spiritual power of positive thinking. It is obedience to God's words. That means this: by faith is not only doing what God says, but it's doing it how he says, the way he says, and when he says. I have this discussion a lot with Christians. Well, preacher, I just don't see it that way. Sometimes I don't see it that way either. It doesn't matter how I see it. How does God see it? God didn't say how you receive it. He said, this is how I said it. This is what I want. Old illustration, very applicable. When I was a boy, Dad would say, take the trash out. I said, Dad, I don't want to take the trash out. How come Chris can't take it out? He said, I told you to take it out. You got one choice. You either take it with a whipping or without the whipping. Either way, it's going out. In other words, it didn't matter what I wanted, it's what I was told to do. And that's exactly the way by faith is. Now, it has nothing to do with how I nor you see it. Doesn't have any bearing on it. Well, I don't agree with that. You can disagree with God all you want. It doesn't change what he said. Say, preacher, you sometimes get a little harsh in your preaching because thus saith the Lord, because that's what it says, thus saith the Lord. Don't take it up with me. I'm just preaching it. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what God said. Say, well, I don't like that. Then change what you are. That's what God wants. So tonight we're going to look at what Abraham did by faith. Look at verse number 8 again in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, notice there's a comma there. Then there's a bunch of words, when he was called out of the place, which should after receive for inheritance, comma. Now stop for a second. I'm not going to go deep into grammar, but that means everything inside that section there is telling you what he's about to do, but it's not the actual action. So the sentence could read, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Everything else describes what Abraham was going to obey. Does that make sense? Then it says, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. In other words, God says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Tonight we're going to look at that. And you say, what was that? What was this talking about, preacher? It was talking about, by faith, Abraham believed God that he was going to move him from where he was and start a brand new nation and a brand new race of people. That sounds very simple, but let's go a little deeper with this. Put yourself in Abraham's place. God comes to you as a successful businessman. You have gained good wealth. You're very successful. God says, I want you to quit your business. I want you to move your wife and all of your belongings. And I'm not even telling you where you're going to go. Just go, and then I'll tell you when to stop. Say, preacher, that's foolish. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Add to that, he didn't have cars, trains, buses, and probably not even much on wagons. Now think through this for a second here. He had to go to a land far away, to a new country even. Not only that, God was going to use Abraham and Sarah to start a new nation. Now, that sounds exciting, but do you realize that Abraham was already 75 years old? Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 12. When he should be a grandpa, he hadn't even been a daddy yet. But he's at grandpa age or older. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Look at verse number, let's look at verse number 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family, your father, your mom, your brethren, everybody you know. I'm going to send you to a country that you don't even know where it's at. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. He obeyed. As the Lord had spoken unto him, watch this, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now look at me. By 75, you've been retired. And Abraham's getting ready to uproot and move to another country, and he doesn't even know where that country is. And God says, I'm going to make you a great and mighty nation. Now look at me, that doesn't mean he was going to conquer with war and take over a people. Imagine moving from England to here and nobody being in the United States of America anywhere, and it was just a husband and a wife and saying, we're going to start the nation of America. Abraham was in the land of the Ur of Chaldee. Now, I'm not going to, don't do this now. Later, you can look in the back of your Bible and find it in one of your Bible maps. The land of the Ur of the Chaldee is in southeast Iraq. It's literally on the northeast tip of the Persian Gulf. He was going to go to Israel. If it was a straight drive, it was 700 miles. But the route that God took him up and around was 1,100 miles. Walking or on camels. That is like you leaving New York City and walking to Kansas City. Then, after he got there, after a little while, he had to leave there and go 300 miles southwest to Egypt. And after a couple of years, walk all the way back, totaling 1,700 miles to do so. That wasn't just a little trip. And yet God said, I want you to go there. He did. He stopped at a place. He built a pile of rocks. And he called the place Bethel. That means house of God. Now watch this. In a couple of weeks, maybe even next week, you'll find out that name Bethel comes back a couple generations later. I just preached about it a couple weeks ago. A man named Jacob, Abraham's grandson, wrestles with an angel at a place called Bethel. Matter of fact, it gets renamed to El Bethel, the God of the house of God. Now, 1,700 miles in all. Take your Bible back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I'm not going to go into all this story, but as you read Genesis chapters 11 and 12 and 13, 14, etc., later, not right now, you'll find out that when Abraham leaves Israel, Bethel, to go to Egypt because of the famine, when he gets there, he tells his wife, Sarah, who's about 10 years younger, she was 65. He said, you're still a good-looking woman. You better tell them you're my sister, not my wife, or they're going to kill me so that they can have you. Look at verse 20. And Pharaoh commanded his men, the Pharaoh kicks them out of Egypt concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. That means into the south of Israel, not he wasn't going south, into the south of Israel. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now look at me. He goes back. He got kicked out of Egypt. You've got to realize Abraham's got to be pushing 80. It's been several years. Sarah's pushing 70. This wasn't a young couple. This is not Mary and Joseph. Now, God says that Abraham obeyed by faith. Everybody look at me. You can obey, but not by faith. Take the trash out, either with or without a whipping. You choose. That's obedience, but not by faith. That was obedience by fear. Amen? It was still obedience, but it wasn't obedience by faith. See, anybody can obey. What makes it different, what made Abraham's different, was he obeyed by faith. Now, let's jump into this and let's hurry here. Number one. Abraham obeyed when God led him to go start a new country and a new race. Look at me. Why did God ask Abraham to do this? Now listen, I preached on this when we preached through the book of Hebrews a little bit. I'm just going to give you a quick synopsis. God needed a nation. God needed a race of people that he could go from beginning to end with for the Messiah to be born. He had to be able to track it, not only genealogically, but also, though Abraham was not a king, he was a patriarch, the leader of that country would one day allow Jesus to sit on the throne in Jerusalem as king. Those kingly rights, as well as the bloodline, and I'm using that in quotation marks there because Jesus did not have Abraham's blood. He had God's blood. He did not have man's blood. But that's what man would say would give Jesus the right to the throne. So it had to be trackable from beginning to end. Obviously, we could track everybody back to Adam. But this also gave them the kingly rights to the throne in Jerusalem. By the way, that will happen 7 years after the rapture when we come back, after the battle of Armageddon, and Jesus will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and we will rule and reign with him here for 1,000 years. His ability to do that came because of Abraham and the ability of that race of people from beginning to Jesus to be trackable. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. God wanted to be the leader of Israel. And as closely as possible, this is what God intended the world to be in Eden before man sinned. God was using Abraham, not using Abraham to go win a war and to take over a nation by war. He was getting Abraham to go start a brand new nation with nobody but he and his wife. Going to take a little while. Abraham left his home by faith to do something. He knew nothing of how it would happen or even come about. You talk about obeying, not knowing what's going to come. Some of y'all are just afraid to do something different one time. Leave everything and go somewhere where you don't even know where you're going. Some of you do that just every time you go somewhere because your GPS didn't work. He never dreamed of being a father at his age at 75. Nobody thinks about being a parent at, you know, having a baby at 75. You say, why? That's stupid. That's young people's sport. That's not old people's sport. Amen? That's called grandpa and grandma, and when they get a little fussy, hand them back. They do other things. Hand them back. That's their job, not mine. Now, he still obeyed, even though it made no sense to him, but he was willing to obey God even when it didn't make sense. Abraham would have to walk over 1,100 miles to obey something he had no idea how it was going to take place. Please don't take this the wrong way. If the preacher gets up and asks you to do something, like go out and help us pass out tracts or go knock on doors and witness to people, well, I'm not sure I could do that. But Abraham could leave everything and travel 1,100 miles by foot to start a nation, and he doesn't even know where he's going to go or what it's going to look like. Understand, this is his wife moving. Where are we going to live? I don't know. What's it going to look like? I don't know. Tell you when we get there. That was moving his wealth. That was moving all of his herds, his cattle, and all the different things that he had. All that way. And they didn't have Penske trucks. Do you really think he was thinking about having a family at 75 years old? I can tell you he didn't. Because in just a few years, he gets anxious on God Sarah says, I can't have children anymore. Take Hagar, my maid, and have a child. And he did with Hagar. Ishmael was born approximately 13 years before Isaac. Ishmael becomes the father of the Muslim race and nations. I find it interesting. Listen to this next statement. Ishmael had 12 sons. Isaac had 12 sons. The Muslims believe Israel is their land because Ishmael was born first. But did you catch where Abraham came from? Southeast Iraq, a Muslim country. Do you know where many of Ishmael and his sons moved to? Back to where daddy was from. And we wonder why the Muslims are centered in that area. Just a little factoid. You have to understand, it wasn't but a few years after they get back from Egypt that they get anxious on God, and he's saying, God, the clock ticking. Sarah ain't going to have a baby, and I'm not sure how much longer I could either. So they get ahead of God, do it on their own. They didn't obey God in that area. They have this child, and then when Abraham's 100 and Sarah is 90, she said, honey, you ain't going to believe this. He said, what do you mean? She said, I'm pregnant. Yeah, right. Now you talk about really wild. You see, only God could let that happen. So Abraham obeyed when God led him to go to a new country and start a new race. Number two, Abraham by faith sojourned in the land of promise waiting for children. He didn't know how long he'd be there, but he planned on just parking it and being there. Look at verse number 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now that's talking about the generations following that would dwell there. Let me remind you, the only one that Abraham ever saw was Isaac. Abraham died long before Jacob was born. Bethel would be the place Jacob would wrestle with God and have his name changed to Israel. Abraham would realize a nation does not become a nation quickly if it's only born of one family. Everybody look at me for a second here. Abraham began to realize this wasn't going to be him seeing the result of his obedience totally. There are some things you will do in life that may be better after you're gone. I love pastoring this church. I don't want another church. Don't plan on going anywhere. Say, preacher, what's going to happen when you die? I'm going to go to heaven. I would love for this church to continue and grow and be stronger than it even is now. That would be my hope. Will it? Time will tell. Now, I don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon. I have no premonitions, but may I say this, it may be the greatest days are yet to come. We're not the judge of that. But you watch what God's doing here in our young people as they grow up, and they have the blessing of God on their life all these years. Watch what God can do. I was at a wedding this last Friday in Ohio. The man that performed the wedding is now pastor of the church that I went to when I was a child, or a child and a teenager. I've met him a time or two in passing, didn't tell him who I was, but had a moment, went and talked to him. I said, that was my home church. We spoke briefly. I came back. I dictated or wrote a letter out Monday morning. I thanked him. I talked about all the decisions I made in that church and how life-changing it was to me. It was where I got baptized. It's where I surrendered to preach. It's where my dad was a deacon. My mom taught Sunday school. The whole second floor of the educational wing, my family, we built it. My dad, my brother, my mom, and I, we cleaned the church buildings. I'd go on and on and on and on. And I said, who would know 40-some years later what God would do with a little boy that grew up there? But I just want you to know, it wasn't in vain. Say, why'd you do that? To encourage him. Not to lift me up, to encourage him. And I said, please thank the church for that. Their investment wasn't in vain. If he came through here, I probably wouldn't have him preach for me. He's about as exciting as a haircut. He's a bit stoic and a little bit different than I, but he's not a bad man. He's not a bad man at all. But you would be like this. Because that's just what he is. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just not what you're used to and what I'm used to. But look at the investment those folks made, and it's 40 years later to where some of them are just getting it. That's kind of what Abraham was starting to realize. It's going to take generations and generations, hundreds and even thousands of years before it fully comes to fruition. You see, it wasn't going to happen quickly. Abraham would be a patriarch, not a king. Abraham would not have the title king. He'd be a patriarch, a father. That's what the word patriarch means, honored father. That's all he would be, but he would be the patriarch. When you see the lineage of Israel, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It always begins with Abraham. Abraham did not obey by faith with Hagar in the having of Ishmael, but he did obey by faith and moved. He did obey by faith and moved, and eventually God gave him the promised seed. Now, thirdly, and I got to hurry because this is it. Abraham, by faith, offered up Isaac as a sacrifice. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 17. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, look at me for a second. We'll take our Bible here in a moment, and I'll show you some things in the book of Genesis, but 25 years have passed until Isaac is born. By faith he obeyed, but God still waited 25 more years, Brother Steve. That's hard to believe. You say, why? God was making it to where there was no doubt God was involved in this. God was making sure everyone understood that the nation of Israel was being birthed in the only way that God could do it. Because no human could do that. It was not going to be done man's way, it was going to be done God's way. I'm not one of these people that believes a whole lot about, well, this pictures this and this pictures this and this means this and gag. I've heard all kinds of sermons about, well, David means this and Rebecca means this. Did you know you had nothing to do with what you were called? But I will say this. Look at the similarities of the story of Abraham and Isaac. How that God gave it at a time and a place where it was not humanly possible, and compare it to what happened to a young couple a couple thousand years later in a place called Bethlehem, where you get from Bethel. The story of the incarnation of our Savior through a virgin is much like what happened with the conception of Sarah and Abraham at an age where it shouldn't have taken place. Only God could have done those two events. I have said this often. The miracle of the virgin birth is not the virgin. It's the Father. Every lady could be a virgin. There was only one father that could father a child through a virgin, and she stay a virgin. The Catholics have it wrong. They're worshiping the wrong side of that. They're looking at the human side, not the God side. So the similarities of the birth, and I'm not saying that Isaac is a picture of Jesus. I did not say that, but look at the similarity, how you have to say only God could do that. That's what I'm saying. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 22. Years have passed. Isaac is now probably nearing his late 20s or near 30 years old. Look at Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now look at me. Here goes God telling Abraham, I'll tell you which mountain, just start walking. But then he says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to offer him as the sacrifice. Now wait a minute. Abraham's about 130 years old here. Sarah's about 120. If he kills his son, this is going to be a long life. He said, okay, God. But you have to understand, Isaac was not a little boy. You see pictures of it, Abraham dragging his little boy with him. Uh-uh. He was a grown man. Isaac was probably very close to 30 years old. Just a little younger than Brother Paul. He was definitely a lot smarter. And he says, Dad, he said, as they're traveling, he said, I notice you got the wood, you got everything that we need, but where's the sacrifice? And I love the answer that God, or Abraham, says. He said, don't worry, son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. They get to the top of Mount wherever in Moriah, begins to set the stones in order. He puts the wood down and he said, son, God's told me that you're the lamb. Imagine looking at your only son that's supposed to be the promised seed. Not just the fact that it's your own son, but it's the promised seed. And he binds him with ropes and lays him down on the altar. He takes his knife out and he's about to plunge it into his son's chest. I can imagine Abraham's getting a bit anxious. But he's traveled 1,100 miles by foot. God's taken care of each and every step. He had that child when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90. God's led him each and every step. Why should he not obey? You say, preacher, do you think Abraham would have done it? Yes, I do. And as he reared his hand back, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came and stopped him. And he said, Abraham, you went far enough. Look at chapter 22. Look at verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid in the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Probably no better words to ever hear in his entire life. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know now that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now look at me, God provided himself a sacrifice. But may I say this, a couple few thousand later, God did provide himself as the sacrifice in Jesus Christ. God was testing his obedience by faith. God's not going to ask you to kill your children. There are times where you wished he would have. There were times you thought so. Jacob realizes the seriousness of obeying God at this point. His daddy is but 10 years from death. But look at verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. He said, just trust God. Obey God. He's never let me down yet. Just obey God. Isaac, when it gets tough, obey God. When you don't understand, obey God. When it doesn't seem right, obey God. We fight petty little battles here. Have you ever been asked by God to take your child up and offer him as a sacrifice? Let's find out how tough that is. I say that to say this. Clear back in Hebrews chapter 11. Turn with me one last time. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Look at me. July 31st, 1980, I surrendered to preach and said, God, I'll do whatever you say. I started going out. 40-some years later, I had no idea where it was going to lead. 46 years later. I couldn't have charted the course. 37 years ago, my wife and I were married. I told her, I said, I have no idea where we're going, how we're going to get there, or what it's going to end up like, but I'll do our best to keep us in the will of God. That's what we've done. By faith. Was it all easy? No, she had to live with me. Was it all easy? No, there's a lot of battles. But we knew God was there. Abraham showed a pattern of obeying by faith. He was not perfect in it. Remember Hagar and Ishmael? Nobody said he was perfect. And yet, God says of Abraham, he obeyed. That was his lifestyle, obedience. So, Abraham obeyed by faith what the word of God said, how he said it, when he said it. Maybe we ought to learn to obey by faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. How's your obedience? Do you question it? Do you question everything? Is it got to be your way? This isn't Burger King and you get it your way. We ought to be obeying God. We ought to say, it doesn't matter what I want, but what does God want? Just like Abraham said.